In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia. All of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Hallelujah. You are God. We praise you. You are the Lord. We acclaim you. You are the eternal Father. All creation worships you. Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Our God, for our redemption, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross, and by his glorious resurrection, you have delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, so that we may rise to live with Christ forever, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's pray together Luther's evening prayer. My heavenly Father, I thank you through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, that you have protected me by your grace. Forgive, I pray, all my sins and the evil I have done. Protect me by your grace tonight. I put myself in your care, body and soul, and all that I have. Let your holy angels be with me, so that the evil enemy will not gain power over me. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, through your dear Son, you have made us all your witnesses. Enlightened by your Holy Spirit, all who speak to others the message of salvation through Jesus' blood and merit, grant your blessing upon us at park benches, so that your word may reach out and bear much fruit for the growth of your church. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture hymn is a mission hymn, Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying, reminding us of how many different ways God can use us in his mission for the gospel.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. And Moses said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The reading from the early church is from the book of Acts, chapter 18. Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
You may remain seated for the reading of the gospel. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th and 8th chapters, where we see Jesus sitting at a couple of different kinds of park benches, as it were. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. So Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that Jesus was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, the Pharisee said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And the Pharisee said, "Say it, teacher." Jesus said, "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with Jesus began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Soon afterward, Jesus went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 disciples were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager. And Susanna, and many others, who provided for Jesus out of their means. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. I need someone who kind of remembers the park bench story to be my volunteers, kind of act out the park bench story. Any volunteers out there? Come on. There's no speaking part. I don't even have a microphone for you. Thor, come on, Thor. I was walking towards Thor just because I thought I could get Thor to do this. All right, so we start. There is no park bench. All right? So here's how the park bench works. All right, what should we be watching? We'll be at Dane's track meet. Okay, all right. So we're at Dane's track meet, all right? We don't know each other. It's one of those track meets where it's just cold, right? All right, so we're staying around, we're watching, you're watching Dane, I'm watching my kid and everything. Now, there is no, for whatever reason, the grandstands aren't open or something, and so we're just standing around. In that case, there's kind of little likelihood that we're probably going to start talking just because, I mean, we're cold, we're just kind of stomping around our feet, hoping this thing gets over on time, which it never does, right? But now if the grandstands were open and we are still waiting around for the events to start, we might go, huh, I'm going to have a seat. All right, a cold metal bench on a cold day. This is great, huh? Right, okay. And so now we've sat down on the bench. And now we might take up a conversation because now it seems a little strange not to talk to one another because we're sitting on this bench together. And I'm like, hey, you know, my name's Ben. What's your name?
Thor.
Nice to meet you. So my kid's in the blah, blah, blah event. You know, how about you?
Kids running the 100 meter.
The 100 meter. Nice. All right. The long jump. All right. You take after you?
No.
No. Okay. All right. So the park bench, the grandstand, whatever it was, gave us an opportunity to be in close proximity that we need to have a conversation. And that conversation could keep going on. We could talk about family. We could talk about what we work on, where we work, what we do, all those kind of things. And eventually, maybe, only by the grace of God, it might lead to a spiritual conversation. You just never know. It wasn't about the park bench, though. It was about us needing to be in a place where we could start talking. Close. That's right. Thanks. All right. Good luck to him. All right. That's the park bench. That's the idea of the park bench. It's not about the park bench. It's about what the park bench allows you to do. Whether it's watching kids at the playground or a track meet or something else, a park bench is anything that brings you together. Take a look at the glossary booklet. It's on page 2. And that's kind of our running definition of a park bench. And I thought it was great that the Go Gurney walking campaign allowed us to get some more park benches. So a park bench is a place to invite others to sit and rest and talk. It's a gathering place. It's a tool to bring people together in relationships that can lead to spiritual conversations. Benches are within the congregation in order to help Christians build each other up. Benches are out in our world, where we have the chance to build relationships with those who need Jesus. That's what a park bench is. It's not always a literal bench. It can be many different kinds of things. I mean, the examples around Bethel are, let's see, on Tuesday nights we have a team playing volleyball at Jesse Oaks, right? That's a park bench. Hopefully you're not on the bench too often. Do you have many people sitting on the bench, or you can't really? I'm looking at Bob Paulson. Do you have anybody who's... We have to rotate in, all right. But that gives you a chance to build relationships with one another from the congregation and other people in the volleyball league. Monday nights, there's the group that plays basketball, most of them being employees from Uline, but a few Bethel members. That's a park bench. Fellowship on Sunday mornings. I mean, yes, we love the coffee and the food, right? During the school year, we love that, but it's not really about the coffee and the food. It's about an excuse to be together, to talk to one another, to get to know each other. That's a park bench. Six Flags days, when our youth go to Six Flags, we got a couple of times planned this summer. That's a park bench. Bring friends, you're staying around, you have conversations, you get to know each other, and lo and behold, it may just even turn into a conversation about faith. And Go Gurney. I mean, I thought that was awesome that the walking campaign encouraging the whole village to be out walking, and that so many of you volunteered to be out there greeting people who might be walking by. That's a park. I mean, it was literal park benches out there, but it was just a chance to get to know people. That's a park bench. And if you look at the scripture readings tonight, I mean, I looked up park bench. It didn't show up in the Bible. I don't know why. Park bench is not in there. But the scripture examples are there. The Old Testament reading. I mean, that Deuteronomy passage, Moses is teaching the people, and he taught the people how to live with the Word of God. And the Word of God was something that needed to be portable. It needed to be in their lives, and it needed to be with them when they sat in their houses and when they walked along the way. And it talks about it being on the doorposts of their houses and the gates and like frontlets on their eyes, which is like things to remember, help them remember, decorating their clothes and their jewelry to help them remember God's word. And those are all park benches. It's not really about the gates, the doorposts. It's not about what road they were walking on. It means that all those things are opportunities to talk about God's word, to build up one another in that word. Those were park benches. Then the scripture, next scripture example would be the gospel reading, where Jesus is invited to a meal. A meal. I mean, that is a classic example of how we really build relationships. I mean, it's true in the Bible, and you think, well, that was that culture that time. But how often do you're starting to get to know someone, and you say, you know what, we should go out for lunch sometime. We should go have coffee. We should have you over for a barbecue, right? There's something about eating together, spending that time you have to spend anyways eating. Why don't we spend that together? And you spend that time getting to know each other, right? I mean, you could do it differently. We could all go, oh, geez, I got to go eat dinner. And we like all run to like separate little holes in the wall and eat, you know, like this, right? All alone. But I think we as people realize, let's spend that time together. And that's a park bench. So the Pharisee invites Jesus and says, come to my house and have a meal. It's a park bench. Jesus takes him up on the offer. Of course, then the woman, the sinner, the streetwalker, she was probably a prostitute, known in the city. She also comes in, and that wouldn't have been so odd because anyone who had kind of a bigger house with enough space to entertain, people came in and out of the household all the time. Well, she saw this as a park bench opportunity. Also, there's Jesus, the prophet. Maybe this man could heal me of all of these things that have happened to me. And so she comes and she is anointing him, wiping his feet with ointment, treating him as the host ought to have treated him. And through all of that, Jesus gets to have this tremendous conversation with Simon and the Pharisees, gets to have this conversation with this woman and send her out with her sins forgiven. That was a park bench. It really wasn't about the meal. It wasn't about the ointment. It was about what it led to. And then finally, the reading from Acts. Paul arrives in Corinth. And he's a tent maker. And as a rabbi, a teacher, he had a trade to make tents or to work with cloth and leather. And rabbis often supported themselves in that way, having some kind of trade, so that wherever they went, they could do some work. So he gets to Corinth. He meets Priscilla and Aquila, and they have a tent-making business, and so they get on just fine, and Paul is working. But the tent making is a park bench. It's how they started having conversations. It's how they started probably talking about the faith that they shared. It seems probably that Priscilla and Aquila came from Rome already believing in Jesus. but the tent making gave them this opportunity. And Priscilla and Aquila end up going with Paul on different journeys and become important leaders in the early church, because there they were, tent making. It was a park bench. They were there on the assembly line, right? They were there sharing the same cubicle, and they got to talking, and that's what led to God being able to use them. But now, suppose you're thinking, okay, fine. There can be a lot of different kinds of park benches, and they might lead to a spiritual conversation. But, Pastor, can you say that, but, Pastor? You don't actually sound like you're objecting. That's good. But, Pastor, you know, I mean, back then, everybody was ready to have a spiritual conversation, so it's just kind of different now. I mean, Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila making tents, of course they were going to have a spiritual conversation, but life's different now. Oh, really? Here's one description of Corinth, where Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila were working. What made Corinth great was that it commanded the great trade route between Asia and Rome. And this accounts for a mixed population, for ships from all ports docked in its harbors. To Corinth flocked many men of varied religions, nationalities, languages. Corinth had several temples that were devoted to Egyptian gods. And although it was a wealthy city, we must not forget that wealth implied many slaves and many poor people below all the people who had wealth. And Corinth did not boast of a single outstanding philosopher. Instead, their pride was in the trade and the arts. And Corinthian brass was famous, and Corinthian capitals and pillars, they're still used in architecture. Yet the Greek spirit was strong in Corinth because it was in Greece. And so everybody liked to speculate about all kinds of ideas. And Corinth was a wicked city, even as larger cities of the empire went at this period. In the old city, the worship of Venus boasted 1,000 female slaves who were able to be taken free to strangers. And money was freely spent in Corinth on all kinds of vice. Corinth wasn't exactly the place where you go, oh, everybody's going to have spiritual conversations. They're going to love talking about Jesus. No, they're talking about all kinds of other kinds of beliefs. They're speculating about the world. They're just, you know, enjoying vices. And that's where Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila found the park bench. God sometimes puts park benches in alarming places. Sometimes they're in normal places. God can use you on all kinds of park benches. And sometimes it's just getting to know someone. Sometimes it goes one step further and saying, can I pray for you? Sometimes it could go even further than that. But God places you in all kinds of places, and you never know how he's going to use you. And sometimes we'll plan park benches, right? You plan a backyard party because you want to get to know people. You plan to take a friend out for coffee. You plan to volunteer at school or a library because you want to serve and in that process get to know people. Those are kind of plans to have a park bench. But sometimes you just find that God has placed you at a park bench, like the line at a store or the line at Six Flags. You don't really plan to be standing around so long at Jewel, but there you are. And there you start talking to people. Or, you know, where you have a chair at the pool and suddenly you start talking to the family next to you. Or the doctor's waiting room. Because, you know, sometimes you're waiting at the doctor's waiting room. And you didn't plan on that, but there you are talking to somebody. But sometimes it's also alarming where God puts a park bench. For Paul, it was in Corinth. That was alarming. But there's Priscilla and Aquila becoming his employers, his friends, his missionary companions. And I'm sure you can if you think a while, you've got times when you realize it was an alarming park bench situation for you also. I'm going to tell you about one that happened just this week. Tony Brazda is on. He's traveling for work, and I don't think he knew that we were approaching park bench this weekend, and he wrote me just a couple days ago about this incident and said, "This talk about a park bench." So he and a coworker, they've been in San Francisco working, and they were walking along the street the other night, and his coworker was just a little bit ahead of him, lots of people out, it wasn't real late, and suddenly his coworker got beat up, out of random, nothing stolen, just got beat up, ended up with a broken nose, all gashed up, and a deep gash in his arm, and like Tony said, I've never seen that much blood, and so Tony went with him to the ER and stayed with him in the ER, and there's Tony and his coworker, not normally sharing that kind of a park bench. And Tony was there to comfort him. I mean, it was painful and it was scary. And Tony said, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And Tony prayed for him right there. And I know, I think he'd be okay with me saying this. I know a couple years ago, Tony probably would have never believed that he would just turn to a coworker and say, "Can I pray for you?" and then pray out loud in that moment. And so he prayed for him. And his coworker friend got home the next day, flew home. He's seen the doctor. They seem to be thinking he's going to heal up okay. But the other thing is that in Tony's prayer, not only was he praying for his coworker for healing, he was also praying, he said he also prayed for the guys who did this, and that God would change their hearts and would protect other people from this kind of violence. And if you were here last Thursday, we talked about praying for our enemies. And that brought it all together, a park bench praying for enemies, all right there. And I know that Tony didn't say, "You know what, I'm going to end up in the ER and it's going to give me this opportunity to have this spiritual moment with this friend." You don't plan that kind of thing. But there, God used him. And that's amazing to me. It's not the kind of thing that you plan. And it's the kind of thing that you might think, "I could never do that." And yet then when God puts you in those different kinds of situations, suddenly you find words falling out of your mouth that you never knew were there, and it's because the Holy Spirit is at work in you. And in the end, it's not really about the park bench. It's about that relationship and how God is using you to bring the gospel. Now, a couple other things I want to remind you of. We're not always going to know the rest of the story. Let's say Thor and I start talking during the track meet, but we're from two different schools. I talk to him a little bit. We happen to share some sort of spiritual kind of conversation, but we never see each other again. He's not going to know how that had an impact on me, and I'm not going to have an idea of how it impacted him. We're not going to know the rest of the story. I put that question up in the prayer room if you've been there this week, because I want you to remember God's using you even when you don't know the outcome. That he uses you to plant seeds, to encourage people in faith, even when you don't know the outcome. The other thing I want you to remember is that this is a metaphor, right? So you don't have to carry park benches around, like, you know, like you're going down the street. "Oh, hey, I got a park bench. You want to have a conversation," right? It's a metaphor. But the other thing is, it's not about the park bench. Whatever the park bench is, in the end, it's the relationships. And I keep bringing that up because I don't want you to lose sight of that. That's an important thing, too. Next week, there's a really, really big park bench going up. You know what it is? It's Vacation Bible School. And during Vacation Bible School, yes, you're like, "Well, that's a very spiritual thing." Yes, it is. But I mean, what goes into Vacation Bible School? Decorating and crafts and snacks and music and pastor trying to be goofy, but probably a fall flat on his face. All of that stuff is great fun, but it's a park bench. And if some of those things don't work out, that's not as important as what conversations and what relationships are built through that time. That's why it's important to see that they're park benches, is because it's the relationships, it's the conversations that take place. That's where God is going to use us. One last way to think about that. We don't, as far as I know, we don't have any of the tents that Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila made. Never heard somebody go, hey, we're going camping this weekend. I got one of those St. Paul originals, you know? But we have his words. And we have his impact on the church. It wasn't about the tents. It was about God's word. I'll wrap up this way. This week, I want you to, whenever you see a park bench, whatever kind of bench, this in this case, an actual bench, I want you to sit down, have somebody take your picture, take a picture of your family, a friend, or whatever, and then if you're on Facebook, post the picture on Facebook and just put the words, you shall talk of God's word when you sit and when you walk, just kind of remembering Deuteronomy 6. I'd love you to do that. If you're not on Facebook, send us your pictures and we'll post it on the Bethel site. Those words are in the buzz tonight too, so you can remember. But just to keep remembering what are park benches and how many opportunities God gives us, I'd love for you to do some of those pictures this week. God's blessings to you as he sends us out to many different park benches. Amen. Let's join in singing. Please stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our offerings and prayer requests are now received. In our prayer requests, we continue to pray for the prayer room. Thank you to all who were in the prayer room last Friday. This Saturday is our next time that we're assigned in the prayer room. So please, if you have not been in there yet in this June emphasis, please let me know and we'd love to get you a time in there. Also, we pray for Vacation Bible School, that God would use that in many different ways as a park bench. I'd also ask you to be praying. You might have seen the email. The election for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod president is happening between Saturday and Tuesday online. Again, each pastor that was a delegate to the district convention and the lay delegate from the congregation cast those votes. That's a little different than in years past. And so we pray for that election, that God would raise up the right man to lead this denomination. We also give thanks with Maury and Carol Cook. Their grandson, Barrett, was born this morning. That's a son of Allison and Tully. He was born today. All are doing well, but it also means Maury and Carol are taking off for Texas for a few weeks. So Some of you know that often an answer is, well, we don't know how to do it, we'll just ask Carol, right? We can't do that for about 3 weeks, so just so you know, all right, we're on our own. We ask prayers for Nicole French. She's still struggling in health some ways. She's having a PET scan next week. We also pray for, again, Tony Brazda's coworker recovering from his injuries. Ask you to pray for a friend's 3-year-old daughter. She has turned out with a garbled speech after having her adenoids removed. So it's a very scary time for them. Alicia Kazarian asks us to pray for her friend Jillian. Jillian's niece was born premature last week and died on Monday from a blood infection. We pray for loved ones who serve in the armed forces. We also give thanks with the Best family. Steve Best is in Tel Aviv for work. He was only a few blocks away from the terrorist attack yesterday. But he is safe, and so we give thanks for that. Are there other prayers that we can offer tonight? Sarah. Wow, okay. So, and how old is Madeline again?
She's 15.
Okay, all right. So, friend of Sarah Papia's, Madeline, a 15-year-old, receiving a kidney from her father next week. Praise God. Other prayers. Kylie.
A real close friend of mine is getting married on Saturday. Jenny Parker.
Okay.
Dating Toby Parker.
Okay.
And she's getting married on Saturday.
Okay. All right. We pray for Jenny and David, who are being married on Saturday. Who else was in? Oh, Cindy. All right. We pray for Marie Hupp, who had an outpatient procedure today. Other prayers? Yes, Margie.
Just a prayer of thanksgiving for Brody, because he's coming along beautifully with nothing really awful other than 3 missing teeth, but he's a dead injury fall.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we've been praying for Brody Cordes after getting hit in the mouth with a baseball. Glad to know that things are improving for him. Any other prayers? All right. Well, let's join in singing the offertory. Please stand to sing. Invite our Vacation Bible School volunteers, staff to come forward. The rest of you may be seated. We want to pray for Vacation Bible School volunteers as they go to their various stations, their park benches. You can all come up, face me. You can gather close together. We're just going to pray for you. That God would use them in a lot of different ways so that students have fun, families have an impact, and that God's word is heard. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these, your servants, and all of our servants who are working next week for Vacation Bible School. We thank you for the work that has already gone into planning. We pray for the final preparations. And then on Monday morning, as those students come and the families come, we pray that this park bench would really be an opportunity for spiritual conversations that are not taking place in families, for spiritual conversations that need to take place, spiritual conversations that continue what is already happening in these families, and that you would use us in many ways, ways where we may be able to see the impact, ways where we may never know the impact. And I pray that you would strengthen and encourage all of our volunteers for their various roles, and in the end, help them to share your love both by their actions and their words. And we give you thanks that you continue to call us into your mission. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, you can be seated. You can remain seated, and we will continue in prayers. Father, we give you thanks this night. As we've been saying, we thank you that you invite us into prayer to come before you in the name of Jesus, and you promise to hear our prayers. We thank you for hearing our prayer this night. We thank you also for all the prayers that you have been hearing through the prayer room. We thank you for the partnership of the Go Together churches. We thank you for that space that dedicated to set aside time and space to be with you. And we pray that you would be with our Bethel folks who spend time there together, the National Youth Gathering team tonight, and others on Saturday, others at different times. And we, as we lift up our community, our congregations, we ask that you would hear us, Lord, according to your mercy. Lord, we ask that you would be with the election of the president for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Bless and keep that election in your care. Guide those who cast ballots over the next few days. And we pray that you would raise up the right man to lead this denomination according to your word, according to your mission that you grant to us. Lord, we ask that you would be with Maury and Carol Cook as they head to Texas. We give you thanks for the birth of their new grandson, Barrett. We thank you for watching over Allison and Tully. Watch over Barrett until he is brought into your kingdom through the water and word of baptism. We give you thanks for your work there. Lord, we also give you thanks with Kylie Brazda's friend Jenny and David, who will be married on Saturday. We pray that that marriage would be blessed by you, that they would see your love for them, and that their love for one another would be strengthened by you. Lord, watch over all those who are struggling in health, many that we've been naming before you, those who have seen changes. We ask that you'd be with them. Watch over Marie Hupp after her outpatient procedure today. Bless and keep her. We watch over Brody Cordes. We thank you for the improvements for him. Watch over Nicole French as she goes through the PET scan next Tuesday. Watch over all those health challenges that she has been facing. Pray that you would strengthen her. We ask and give you thanks that there is a match for Madeline to receive a kidney from her father. We pray that you would be with them in the lead up to that surgery, and that you would watch over that transplant. We give you thanks also for another transplant for the co-worker of the Ramones, Francisco. We thank you that things seem to be going well with his liver transplant, and we pray that you'd continue to watch over Francisco. Also be with Joanne Heidloff, Randy Ketlinski, Bev Hallman, Lucille Owe, Dee Newby, Rhoda Bergman, Marge and Frank Benora, Cindy Elwine's mother, Cornelia, Mavis Henkel at Libertyville Manor, Harry Threadgill, Gail Olson's father, Rich Walker's sister, Susan Squires' mother, Carla Thompson's mother-in-law, Paul Delassus' sister-in-law, Ellen Dalrymple's sister and her brother, Tony Braz's co-worker. We thank you for protecting him, that the injuries weren't more serious, and we pray that that park bench conversation would have an impact on him. We also ask that you'd be with my friend's three-year-old daughter. Bring back her speech, Lord, and keep her family in your care. We also give you thanks that you were with Steve Best and protected him in Tel Aviv. We pray that you continue to protect him as he travels back today, travels there again in the future. We ask that you would be with all those affected by terrorism in the Middle East, that there would be the hope of your word and your gospel working in their midst. Lord, we also ask that that gospel it be at work in Alicia Kazarian's friend Jillian's family as they mourn for her niece, born early and died way too early. Lord, be with them. Help them to know the comfort of the resurrection. Finally, Lord, we ask that you'd be with our loved ones who serve in the armed forces, whether at home or abroad, that you would protect and keep them and also strengthen them, their faith. Be with Victoria Withrick, Leona Keller, Michael Ridley, Sam Garrows, Russell Schmidt, Zachary Cheriton, Jennifer Lawson, Jason Luker, and Jason Burkett. Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayers according to the name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth now worships you, the Father everlasting. To you all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise you. The holy church throughout all the world does acknowledge you. You are the King of glory, O Christ. You are the everlasting Son of the Father. Govern us and lift us up forever. O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Lord, let your mercy be upon us. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. You may be seated. Just a few important announcements. For Vacation Bible School, I think there were still a couple of post-it notes on the bulletin board down by the office for a few more snacks we need donated. Are there other volunteer positions that we need? Shannon, Sarah? Okay, so we could still use a few adults to take up park bench with certain groups and kind of go with them different places. So if you're able to help, please let us know. That would be great. One other thing that we need, Cindy Elwine needs just a little help tonight moving tables in her room for VBS downstairs. So if there's a couple of people that would be willing to go down with her and move those tables off to the side, Cindy will be in the back and you can say, we'll go help. Like I said, prayer room, let us know if you need help signing up. Then next Thursday, because of Vacation Bible School, that will be our celebration service. Service will be down in the gym. There will not be communion as there normally would be on that that Thursday night, but there will be communion on Sunday the 19th. Am I doing my math right there? If you want to dash out right now and go to Panera for dinner, grab a flyer, and then a portion of your order tonight before 8 o'clock, apparently, will go to support Cool Ministries. If you're headed to Panera, we'll let you go up first. And then finally, I sent out an email, but our new phone system is up and running as of this afternoon. Please be patient with us as we learn it, but it's going to be great. You're going to be able to leave a direct message for different staff members, things like that. So I think it'll really help communication. But please bear with us as we learn our new phone system. Thanks. God's blessings. I look forward to greeting you at the door.